Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You volunteered on Monday that there were some things on tape offensively away from the ball that displeased you. What were some of the specifics of the things?
Yeah, there were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff. And it's a reflection of our players, too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you got to be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Are there guys that you did practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
Football Talk on The Score, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Chris Ronji tonight filling in on 670 The Score, and we continue our Bears discussion. I'm with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Of course, talking Cubs, who clinched a playoff spot today by beating the Pirates. So they're in. Now they're playing for seeding, basically, and there's still that outside chance they win the division. But we continue our Bears discussion today by going to the guest line, the Circa Resorts and Casino Hotline, and it is Cassie Carlson joining us, covering the Bears for Fox. CircaLasVegas.com to go to Circa. Cassie, it's good to have you with us tonight. How you doing?
Chris, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. And you hear Ben Johnson, and that's who we just, heard the cut from a moment ago, talking about practices in championship caliber, and the other team played harder than us. And a lot of times when you hear that kind of thing, well, that directly reflects on coaching. In this particular case, does it feel like coaching is the problem, or is it buy-in or something deeper?
I don't know. I don't get the sense that it's coaching. I get the sense that it's Ben Johnson coming in, which I think he's been trying to do ever since he was hired in January, and trying to change the culture in Chicago to become this hard nose and, to steal a term from the Lions, a gritty football team. And I think the unfortunate part is when he said that the other team played harder and like clearly wanted it more on Sunday, is that there was a ton at stake for the Bears going into this game, as there were the Lions, but just the storyline of Ben Johnson returning to the place, knowing that he was going to be booed when he took the field at Ford Field, and he was booed, and that it was all eyes on really what he could do with this Bears team, and they fell completely flat. And the Lions bounced back from their week one loss, looking like the same old Lions without Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator. I think that's the more disappointing part, is that the players didn't show up for that. And I think just watching that game, you saw the sense of, I keep saying that the Lions players, like, they love getting after it. Like, they're gritty and they're kind of, they're dogs, right? Like, they want to go out there and put up as many points as possible. And I felt like the Bears were missing that just in how they approached the game and how they played the game. So for Ben Johnson, it really started Monday to come out and say that he wanted to have more competition in practice and that was going to dictate who would be getting the ball and the game plan moving forward. I thought he was calling out the players like, I need more from you. I want you guys to be a little bit nastier on the football field. And if this is what I have to do and this is how I get the message across, this is how I'm going to go about it.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. I know that a lot of people like it when coaches, whatever sport it is, handle that stuff in-house first. So it leads me to believe that he has tried that, and now he's sort of using public shaming as a tool.
Yeah, I think he's been consistent with his messaging through the media since he's been hired as well, whether it be to a player specifically. I remember talking to him at the Combine. He said he saw a little bit of Penei Sewell and Darnell Wright. I think that was a message to Darnell Wright, like, hey, you can be an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler if you want, but you got to apply yourself. And I get the sense, just based off of listening to some of the players talk about how he is in team meetings on a day-to-day basis, like, he's very direct and straightforward in his expectations for them. And so I don't get the sense that they're surprised that he said this at all either. Like, these are all messages that he's told them. And just talking to the players after practice today, they had a 2+ hour practice, and a lot of them said it was one of the more intense practices that they had, where guys seem to show up a little bit more. So if it works, I think you got to keep doing it, because we know Ben Johnson doesn't like to lose, and unfortunately he has a roster of players that really haven't experienced much winning. And I think you have to change the mindset of these players to go from these guys who are settling for these long losing streaks and missing the playoffs to getting them to buy into his culture. We're going to be a winning franchise. And as he said early on when he was hired, not to be a palms up team and go into games ready to attack teams and with game plans they feel confident they can go out and execute.
It must be, and I think for a lot of people, it starts with the quarterback, that mindset that we're talking about here and getting the buy-in. If you've got the leader of your team, which is typically your quarterback, if he's doing it, then most other guys fall in line. It seems so far, at least based on what we've heard Ben Johnson say about Caleb Williams, that at least in that respect, Caleb is doing okay. I mean, from your closeness to the team, do you get the sense that Caleb is handling that part of it well?
Yeah, I think the tough part with Caleb is that he's still young and he's still learning so many new things as well. And I mean, that's part of the quarterback position, is being a leader on this team. And he was voted a team captain yet again. But it sounds like him and Ben had conversations about how he can get the most out of his teammates at practice, because he said today they talked about their practice habits and whether it's like pushing them, encouraging them. He's like, we just need to learn how to be able to lead and be able to go out there and execute and show the guys that we are taking the right steps so that you can see the confidence growing within each of them. And I think the hard part with Caleb being in his second year, and just start with what happened week one, is that he's also trying to grow his own game. And I think we saw steps on the field in week two and making a little bit of a jump. And I think Ben Johnson said we saw a pretty significant jump, in the expectation is that he's going to make an even bigger jump in his play coming now into week three against the Cowboys. But he also said there are going to be hiccups in the road, and it's not going to be a linear path to playing our best football in December. So I think Caleb has a lot on his plate, right? It's not just, we need to show why you were the number one overall pick a year ago, and now that you're paired up with Ben Johnson, who is tasked with putting you in the right position and making this offense a high-powered offense like he did in Detroit. It's also, can Caleb Williams get the team to rally around him? And that's a tough task as a young player who's also trying to figure it out. So I think he's still trying to balance that too, and working on ways where he's improving, but he's also getting the team to execute at a high level.
Cassie Carlson covers the Bears for Fox 32 with us here. And I know the offense hasn't looked quite right. There have been moments where Caleb Williams looks right himself. It looks like he's doing things that, you know, they can sort of build upon. But this two tight end thing that Ben Johnson is pretty well known for liking and utilizing well, so far that has not been the case with Chicago. Is it a personnel issue? Is it just trying to get comfortable with the two tight ends that he's got? Is it that one of them doesn't look good in practice? What so far has been holding back this two tight end thing that Ben Johnson's used to?
I think that's the big mystery right now. Is everyone's a little confused on how you draft a tight end in the first round with your top 10 pick, and then he only gets one target in garbage time with Tyson Bagent and at quarterback, and why he's not more involved in the game plan. And Ben Johnson, as he did with the run game after week one, did the same thing this week today, saying the fact that they're not involved is a reflection on him more than anyone else. So he's going to take ownership of not getting them involved. And he said, you know, week one, they didn't really expect the tight ends to be that involved. And I think that's because you're facing a Minnesota defense and a defensive line that they expected to bring a ton of different pressures and looks, and they were going to help out with the blocking on that. But I think it was more of a surprise this past week. And it's just funny because it's just like they're non-existent. And so talking to Colston Loveland today, he was saying, you know, basically he's going to go out there and he doesn't have an answer saying, oh, it's great to hear your head coach saying the tight ends need to be more involved. He's like, we're going to go out there and we're going to do whatever job we're told. And that's blocking for 50 of the offensive plays. Like, so be it. That's what we're going to do. But I do think, just given the fact that you're wanting to see Caleb Williams hit more of his receivers and, you know, spread the love. You love to see Roma Dunze have a big game last week, but seeing if the tight ends can get involved a little bit more and see what Colston Loveland, what makes him so special, is more of that pass catcher, wide receiver type tight end that you can play with and use as a toy in this offense. And I think maybe what we've learned, though, is that Ben Johnson isn't going to have the Lions offense of last year in Detroit going to be in Chicago this year, and it's going to be a little bit different. But I think the way he takes ownership of these things is a positive, because of course that's what everyone was asking for last year with Matt Eberflus. And I think one thing we will see from Ben Johnson is him fine-tuning this offense as it goes along and trying to put players in the best position. And over the first 2 weeks, I think there's some questions on that with the inability to get the run game going week one and then the lack of involvement with the tight ends week two. But I would expect it to improve week over week pretty drastically.
Yeah, and it's really difficult, too, when you look at, you know, Tyler Warren's numbers and what he's done. And that's a guy that a lot of people thought the Bears were going to draft, and they bypassed
right.
him for Loveland. So I don't know. As you see that, do you think that if Warren were here, the results for him would be similar to what they are now? Or is this just a matter of scheme and the way they're being used, and that it just wouldn't look the exact same here as it does in Indy?
I think it's a matter of scheme and what Ben Johnson is trying to do. Like, I think that they fully believe in Colston Loveland. Mind you, he wasn't fully healthy in the offseason and the spring practices, then came back in training camp. But as we saw in training camp, and as Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams both alluded to today, like, Caleb and Colston Loveland definitely have a connection that shows up in practice, but for some reason, it's just not being called in a game. And I don't know if that's a combination, too, is Caleb Williams getting through his progressions and his reads, because there's been talk about his footwork and his eyes and are they in the right place at the right time. And I think that improved in week two. So I think it's just an ongoing process of them all trying to work together. And it's something that people talked about going into the season, and players had mentioned that it's a complex offense. And so it's going to take time to make it all click as one, and it's not going to be perfected overnight or in week one. And I think that's the message that Ben Johnson is also trying to get across right now, is that they're early on. It's been two games. They're not panicking inside the building. Players will say they were pissed off after the game on Sunday in Detroit because it was an embarrassing loss. But no one was expecting to be playing their best football in week two or week three. It's also why they weren't mad about having the early bye week where they can go back and reevaluate everything. Ben Johnson said today they should be playing their best football come December. And the way things are trending and the way they're going to figure things out, he believes that they are going to be doing that. So I think the tight end question is definitely a valid one, and there is some concern. And it's also one that I think maybe Bears fans are a little jaded about because the lack of involvement of Cole Kmet last year. But I think Ben Johnson's hyper aware of all the things that we are noticing and people not getting involved. And I think each week he goes into the game plan trying to fix all those things that maybe weren't perfect or the way he wanted it to be in the previous week.
Cassie, going into Sunday, will any of the Bears' defensive starters be healthy?
Yeah, that's a little alarming. I mean, of course, the Jalen Johnson news, and we don't know the full extent of what his status will be for the rest of the season, is a huge blow to the secondary. Kyler Gordon being out, TJ Edwards, Grady Jarrett not practicing again with the knee injury. I'm not sure he was 100% healthy the other day. Definitely didn't look that way. It's a bummer. This is a Bears defense that we thought was going to be top five in all the categories, and they're dead last. So I think it's a huge concern. Everyone keeps asking about the whole, are you concerned about Jalen Johnson and how the secondary is going to hold up without him? And I keep saying, yes, of course, you want to have your Pro Bowl corner out there and your shutdown corner out there for every game. But the more concerning part is that there's no pass rush right now. And so it doesn't really matter who's back there. If you can't get to the quarterback, they're going to have a heyday throwing all over whatever defense is thrown out there. And so I think the lack of a pass rush is more concerning over anything. And then you hear Ben Johnson go out there today and say the Cowboys offensive line has been playing really well. He thinks Dak Prescott does a great job of manipulating defenses with his cadence, and he's a true pocket passer. Oh, they have CeeDee Lamb and they have George Pickens, and Tyreek Stevenson struggled against Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think it's a little scary right now. And I think the other conversation is, they didn't go out and bring in a big name guy on the defensive line this past off season. They paid Dio Dangbo big money. Montez Sweat making $98 million over 4 years, and that deal was signed before he ever played a snap in a Bears uniform. And I think you're just like, where is this going to come from? But then you do keep in mind that they have Shamar Turner, who's a second round pick, who was a healthy scratch last week. And I just think there's so many concerns of why someone who should be a contributor in his first season isn't on the field or isn't even dressed on game day. And so the Bears need to figure out a way to attack a quarterback and put some pressure on him. And I know Dennis Allen can come up with some crazy blitz packages. But the injuries alone are very concerning. And I think, you know, what happened in Detroit is one thing to let a team put up 50 on you. I think the more disappointing thing is the downfall now that we saw them have in the fourth quarter against Minnesota. And then you realize watching that Sunday night game that, oh, Minnesota isn't anything to ride home about anyway in their offense. So yeah, the defense is super disappointing. We talked to defensive coordinator Dennis Allen tomorrow. Last week, he got pretty ticked when people were asking him about the previous week's game on a Thursday. And I'm like, well, he's going to have to answer a lot of questions about what happened in Detroit tomorrow. So he better get ready, because that defense that was going to pride itself on being aggressive and being top five in every statistical category has not shown up that way yet.
Well, Cassie, I know that you're following Bears injuries, but since you're on that beat, I need you to go find out if Kyle Tucker's all right. And when you when you find out, let us know, would you?
Oh, definitely will. I know. I saw that this morning. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's not great. Cassie Carlson, you're the best. Thank you so much for talking with us tonight.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Have a good one.
You too. That is Cassie Carlson, who covers the Bears for Fox 32 in Chicago. And you can follow her on Twitter at Cassie Carlson TV. I'm Chris Ranji. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me tonight on this Wednesday night. When we come back, we're going to have one of my other guys, Chris Emma, who covers the Bears for 670 The Score. And don't forget, we're not ignoring the Cubs tonight. Cubs clinched the division, or excuse me, they clinched a playoff spot. The Brewers are still in the lead in the division, which is technically still in play. But we are talking about the Cubs, officially a playoff team. With you until 9 o'clock tonight, talking Cubs, talking Bears, Chris Ranji on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid.
If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Chris Ranji tonight filling in on 670 The Score. It is time to go to the guest line. And one of my favorite people, he covers the Bears. He pretty much covers everything here in Chicago for 670thescore.com. It is Chris Emma who is visiting with us tonight. You can also, by the way, follow Emma on Twitter at CEmma670. Chris, how's it going?
Ranger, what up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm doing okay, except I noticed just now that you don't follow me on Twitter anymore, so I must have done something to upset you.
Oh, boy. I got to check back on that one.
What the hell, dude?
That will be rectified here shortly.
Okay, that's all right, buddy. I appreciate you, man. So before we get to Bears, I want to get to Bears primarily with you. I know you've been covering sports for WBBM as well today. Cubs clinched the division. It was a possibility today, and they did it. And with all the hand-wringing that's been happening all season, or at least in the last couple of months based on the way they've played, does it feel like vindication? What exactly does it feel like today?
It feels unique and odd in a way. Like, this has not been – it's been a very unsatisfying season in which they're 24 over 500, have clinched the playoffs with a week and a half still to go, still technically in the central race. Like, it's been an odd season in that regard. It's felt incomplete and, like, things have just not quite – gone their way at times, and yet here they are, and it's a really good ball club. Like, it's fascinating that they've had no winning streak longer than five games, no losing streak longer than three. And thinking about that in terms of, like, the weeks in the series that they've had where it's just been up and down, right when you think they're going to start stacking a streak going, they lose two out of three to the Nationals, and then they start rolling off that, and you go to LA and you sweep the Angels and you get swept by the Giants. It's been a roller coaster of a year, but through that all, they've played some pretty solid ball, and they've shown that they could either make a deep run in the playoffs or get bounced out in the wild card round. And I'm not really sure which to pick at this point. It's a fascinating, frustrating team that I think can really do some damage or just fall short. So we're going to see. They're in, and it looks likely at this point that they're going to be hosting a first round wild card series at Wrigley Field. It looks like the Padres are in line for that. We'll see how the last week and a half plays out, and you never know what can happen, but it's certainly an accomplishment for a team that it should be doing this every year. It's good to have them back in the playoff mix, and now this should be the goal year in and year out.
Chris Emma on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Chris, let's now shift to the Bears, and I know that once we get to Wednesday, we're really trying to move ahead and start thinking about Dallas, because you gotta forget about 0-2. But it's very difficult for me today to, I've tried to be optimistic. I've tried a little bit of optimism here about what's happened, but it's really kind of tough to do it, I guess. And I feel like I'm posing in a way. I feel like I'm forcing myself into optimism. I probably shouldn't admit that, but just based on the way things have gone the first couple of games, where do you sit?
I mean, it's been incredibly disappointing to be sitting here at 0-2 with the manner in which they've done it. You know, it's, you just say it's been five bad quarters, whatever, but like, they not play good football for the most part. And the defense is especially alarming. I thought this defense was going to be a strength for this team. And yes, you're missing some key players. You're down three starters, maybe four. Looks like Jalen Johnson might be lost for the entire year if he does undergo season-ending surgery here. But look, this defense, even when healthy, it looks like it still wasn't going to be good enough. And I think the maddening part is that the depth on defense and on both sides of the football has been exposed as lacking. That cannot be the case after four four off seasons of rebuilding. And you got to be able to play next man up. You got to be able to replace a Jalen Johnson or a Kyler Gordon. And they're lacking talent on that side of the football. Offensively, it's getting better. I think it's probably right where it's supposed to be. Caleb Williams had a better, more efficient performance in week two in Detroit. Week one was up and down, obviously, for him. But I think you're seeing progress. I think you're going to see continued growth for that side of the football and the identity forming. But also, the other side of the coin is the running game has been lacking, too. So it's frustrating. This was a year I thought that was going to be a breakthrough season for the Bears, and here they are at 0-2, and you're wondering how bad it could get soon. I don't know if that turnaround's coming right away. It might take some time, and I think Ben Johnson's really coming to grips with that right now.
Yeah, do you – and adjustments have to come, and I have been – you know, I went into the season like everybody else just – and I don't think it was blind. I don't think it was blind to assume that he would have complete control of this ship and, you know, really turn things around, because he seemed like he had a plan. He does have a plan. He knew what he was doing, and everybody was going to fall in line with that plan. Do you have any doubt that that is eventually going to happen, whether it's 6 games in, 7 games in, or maybe next season? Or do you think this may never happen at all?
I mean, look, nothing of this 0-2 start in my mind reflects on Ben Johnson at this point. And go back to Sunday, too. Like, that was a game built on Ben Johnson, his return to Detroit, and going back to the locker room in which Matt Eberflus faced a mutiny last time. And at the end of the game, you're just thinking about Ryan Poles, and you're thinking about the roster that was built with so many flaws and so many ways where, you know, the foundation could fall out on you here. And the roster is only marginally better now from where he took it over back in 2022, and that's extremely disappointing and an indictment on the work that they've been doing to this point, because they tore things down. They've been rebuilding. Like, this roster is supposed to be in a much, much better place by now. It should have been in a much better place last year when the bottom really fell out on them. It's hard to hang your hat on something to say that they're better here or there. Like, look, the NFL Network puts out those top 100 players lists. The Bears did not have a single guy on there this year. They don't have those blue chip players that Bill Polian told George McCaskey, you better be finding if you want to build sustained success. And everything Ryan Poles came in to do has just not come to fruition. So at this point, Ben Johnson is the great hope of this thing getting turned around quicker, because we know he has the same personnel. He has a vision for how this thing is going to take shape. And you hope that he can both develop the guys that have been underdeveloped on this roster and help them identify new talent to come in and turn this thing around and get forward. But right now it's completely lacking. It's uninspiring. And it's hard to see this thing really having a breakthrough anytime soon.
Yeah, Chris Emma's joining us on 670 The Score. I was wondering if, you know, like everybody else, I don't think I'm alone in this. In fact, I have heard zero people, and maybe it's recency bias, maybe it's the 0-2 start, maybe it's how they've looked here, or it could also be a combination of that and just assessing the entire tenure so far. But it's really difficult to understand why they extended him when they did. I mean, I guess you want him to be around as long, and we're talking about the GM here, you want him to be around as long as the coach is. You know, you don't want the coach's contract to be longer than the general manager. So I guess I understand it from that perspective. But does it seem like they did this too early with him? Is there something with his tenure I'm not seeing? And maybe I just need to have a little more patience. How do you look at it?
I think they jumped the gun on this extension completely. And look, I understand the idea of wanting to put Ryan Poles in lockstep with Ben Johnson, but he hasn't earned that right. Like, he hired Ben Johnson, sure, but he hasn't earned that right to be in lockstep with him. And it was blind faith in the guy who hasn't proven that he's earned it yet. Like, they believe in Ryan Poles, and clearly we know that. That's why the deal came to fruition. It was kind of notable that the Bears did not announce it. They didn't celebrate it. There was no press release even that was put out there. They tried to slip this through the cracks again, and Ryan Poles people seem to leak that out to national reporters. So, look, it was an odd decision at the time, and it seems really bad right now. Like, if you made him earn it, if you put Ryan Poles on the hot seat, so to speak, this year and say, go out and get us a win or show that this is progress and you deserve to be here long term, I think that's warranted. And I don't think you're risking much of him walking away to some other job at this point. So it makes less and less sense to me other than the idea of let's put him in lockstep with Ben Johnson. Well, look, Ben Johnson's got a long leash. He's going to have a ton of job security and the opportunity to see this through. And the reality is that this thing bottoms out even more than Ryan Poles does not have that kind of leash.
Chris, you mentioned the defense, and they looked pretty good for about one half of football. There, that first half, I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is really something here. They might have a complete package, even though you know, everything kind of fell apart in the second half. And you said you're surprised at how bad it has looked. Would you say it's mostly injury? Would you say it's scheme? Would you say that the coaching staff has to be surprised by how bad it's looked?
I'd say it's mostly injury to some degree in terms of you're missing two starters in the quarterback position with Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon. Those are two of the best in football. Those guys are vital to your defensive identity. Not only that, having a shutdown corner in man coverage with Jalen Johnson, but having a guy, Kyler Gordon, who can do so many different things for Dennis Allen's defense. He goes down, barely 48 hours before they kick off the football against the Vikings in the opener. And you got to throw out a lot of the game plan because of that. I think what's frustrating to me is the idea of they've not been able to play next man up, that the Nashawn Wright is your next corner up in place of Jalen Johnson. And he had that pick six, which was fun and exciting, but he's also been picked apart plenty. Tyrique Stevenson's probably not a starter on many teams in the NFL, if any. He's your number one corner right now. There's no other option there. Terrell Smith suffered that season-ending injury in the preseason. You're lacking guys who can step up there right now and make a difference, and you're stuck with these guys who are just getting targeted. They're getting picked apart. The reason why the Vikings turned that into overdrive offensively was because J.J. McCarthy settled in and he realized he'd just go after 25 or 29 in coverage and say, let me target these guys. It was a mismatch. You know, you got Justin Jefferson on these guys. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams lining up against these guys this past Sunday. Like, pick your poison. You're just beating the secondary over and over again, and these guys are trying to chase him down. So, yes, the injuries took their toll. It's unfortunate. But the reality on the other side of the coin, as we've talked about, is that after four off seasons, you should have enough roster depth where you're not worried about playing next man up. You got somebody who's able to step up and start in those positions. The T.J. Edwards' loss is tough, no doubt about that. And we'll see when he's able to return. That looked like a multi-week deal. Grady Jarrett, who's one of your big pickups, has been not healthy, and now he's back in the injury report here. And this defensive front, now in its fourth year with Ryan Poles, still not getting any pressure on the quarterback. So that's been extremely frustrating, and it's why this defense is faltering.
How much of what's going on here do you think is buy-in from players, whether it's the veterans or the younger ones?
I'm sorry, you said that one again.
How much of what's happening here do you think is lack of buy-in by veterans and rookies or younger players alike?
I mean, I don't know if it's that. The buy-in seemed pretty clear throughout the course of the offseason program and training camp. Like, I think the buy-in's there. You got to really live that, right? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to go out there in practice and block on the edge on a running play because that's your assignment instead of just going through the motions. And then you go out there on a Sunday and you're still going through the motions. Like, Ben Johnson's frustration is clear. I think you've got to really embrace everything that he's teaching and embrace the idea of playing winning football, no matter whether you're getting the ball or not, no matter if the play on defense is run to your side or not. Do everything in your assignment. Do what you're supposed to do and be a professional football player. And, they say the buy-in's there. I know Ben Johnson's got the other end of the spectrum where he's pushing these guys, but at some point you got to see that turnaround and you got to see the proof of the pudding to really get the results you want. So, yeah, it's been positive lip service, and I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. I still think the buy-in's there, but clearly not 1 through 53 on this roster, not 1 through 46 on game day.
See, one of the reasons I asked that question was because of Johnson's comments about practice, how the practice isn't really championship caliber practice, and is that the sort of thing that comes with time, or is it because the effort isn't there? Which should be, I mean, to me, effort should be there immediately. There should be no reason players aren't giving the right effort in practice.
I mean, look, the best teams out there, think about like those teams, not talking about best year, like in 1 year, but like the best teams over like the span of a decade have that culture where it works itself, where it's player led because all the players know is winning and doing things the right way. And you talk to those guys who are in New England with Tom Brady, like the way that Tom Brady was held accountable the same way as the last guy in the roster was, and how Brady would embrace that and be hustled right there next to you in practice and doing everything you're supposed to do. The Bears don't have that. They don't have those guys who have been, Joe Tooney is one of the few outliers, and they're a guy who's won 4 Super Bowls and been through this whole thing. You need a locker room full of those guys and guys who are setting a different standard. Like last year, it unraveled because no accident. You don't lose 10 games in a row and fall completely apart but without a poor culture. They had 8 captains last year and no leadership. And here you are and with the leadership still in question. I think you can put it that way. There's a lot of question marks on the field and off the field for this team. And look, these aren't bad guys. This is not like a horrible culture by any means, but it's not a winning culture. And you got to push through and turn the tide here at some point. And it does start with those habits in practice. It does start with taking those to the game field and playing a 4-quarter game where you're doing those things the right way, the way that Ben Johnson and his staff are preaching. And at some point, you start stacking those days, you start stacking those wins, and you do turn that thing around. But I thought there could be an immediate breakthrough this season. And I thought, I'm not 9 wins. I said they'd be there at least, pushing for a wild card spot. And here they are 0-2. It just seems really dark right now here in Chicago.
Talking to Chris Emma on 670 The Score. And you know what they say, Chris, if you have 8 captains, you have 0 captains, right? That's the old trope now with us here. So, just wondering about Caleb Williams like everybody else is. That was the focal point going into the season. And what's interesting about what's happened here is he did not have a very good game in the first one. I think there were things to build on in the second game. Obviously, it has been talked about a lot. But what's interesting to me, Chris, is that it isn't we're talking about him, but we're not talking about him because everything else has been so lousy, right? Like that's a thing. We're not even really focusing on him as much as maybe we would have been otherwise. So as you focus on him through 2 weeks, do you feel encouraged? Do you feel like there's much that they can build on?
You know, ask me a week ago, I would have said this is really bad news for Caleb Williams. And coming out of Detroit on Sunday, put aside the scoreboard and how bad it got for the Bears as a whole, I was encouraged by what he showed in particular. And then watching it back on tape, I confirmed everything I thought I saw there. Like, he looked like he just played within his fundamentals and technique. And, he threw within his footwork rather than letting the clock tick up on him and then speed. Like, he was able to play within himself. And I think at some point, probably late in this game, but before he got taken out, obviously, like, he just said, I'm going to go out and play my ball. This is not going well for us. I'm not going to be able to keep up with the Lions offensively. And he played good, fundamentally sound football, efficient football. The pick was bad. Like, let's put that aside. That was a horrible decision. But aside from that, like, I thought his timing and rhythm was much better than it was in the opener. And that's a positive step. Like, he's got all the talent. In my mind, he's somebody who's got everything it takes to be great. But it's just about keeping it consistent and having those strong performances week in and week out where you're not speeding things up like you did in that opener. You're not overthrowing guys because your footwork's out of whack. Like, he looked much more like the guy you wanted to see. That's week 2. That's game 2 with Ben Johnson. I think it's going to continue to slowly improve, and I think this offense is going to continue to build some sort of identity here that at least when you get to midseason, we'll see where the Bears' record is by that point. But I think you're going to start feeling better about Caleb Williams' future.
But will you feel better about the run game?
It's just not there right now. And now DeAndre Swift is on the injury report with a quad injury. Putting him down is limited. We were not aware of that during Sunday's game, so it's not out of the realm of something that popped up in practice this week. Roshan Johnson's dealt with a toe injury. He still does not have a carry this year. Kyle Manunga's only chance as a running back came in garbage time on Sunday. That's Ben Johnson telling you he doesn't trust any of these backs. And he only trusts DeAndre Swift because that's his top guy. He's worked with him before. He's a veteran who knows what he's doing. They desperately need to improve this running game. And I don't know if there's going to be a chance to do it during the season. Like, anybody who's available in the open market is there for a reason. Anybody who's being traded away, like, I don't know if it'll make sense for the Bears to do. You're just kind of figuring things out and hoping you're getting enough out of that unit to complement the passing game to build some sort of collective identity, because that's really disappointing. And preface that with how the offseason took shape with passing in the open market in March and then missing out on your chances in the draft and then passing an option still lingering there in the following months before training camp. Like, the Bears dug this grave for their running back depth chart by default. They did not handle this well, and they're kind of getting what they deserve for not having more urgency there.
Do you think that if it were up to Ben Johnson, DeAndre Swift would be his first back?
No. I think he'd be the ideal complement to, that proven workhorse number one back. And that's going to be a priority for this offseason. I think we know that much already. We'll see. I mean, whether it's somebody like a Jeremiah Love coming through the college game or whoever's out there in the open market, like, you got to make some kind of move to aggressively address that running back position. DeAndre Swift is a good complementary back, but he's not that top back. And I think Ben Johnson knows that well.
All right, so Chris, Emma, last thing before we let you go, they've got the Cowboys this weekend, and with all of these dudes on the injury list, many of them likely not going to play at all, what can they do here? What do you think happens?
I think Dennis Allen's going to have to really go deep in his bag defensively and find some ways to pressure Dak Prescott to get after him, because this could be an ugly long game for the Bears defense. So the way Dak's been playing is one of the best quarterbacks in football. And you're talking about Tyreek Stevenson and Nashawn Wright lining up with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and a really tough offense. And that, and the fact that the offense is going to have to do its part against Matt Eberflus's defense to keep this thing in check. I think it's going to be a track meet type game potentially. And that does not bode well for the Bears.
Chris, Emma, appreciate you. Thank you, buddy.
Take care, man.
That's Chris, Emma with us covering the Bears. I'm Chris Ranji filling in tonight. Good to have you with me. 312-644-6767. Feel free to check in on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Circa Resorts and Casino in Las Vegas is the place to be for Chicago football fans September 26th through the 29th. Spiegel and Holmes will be broadcasting live that Friday and Saturday from Stadium Swim. Then they are staying for the Monday reaction show after the Chicago-Las Vegas game. So, join The Score for an incredible weekend, September 26th through the 29th at Circa in Las Vegas, Chicago's football headquarters. Log on to CircaLasVegas.com to reserve your stay today. Chris Ranji, we are wrapping up hour two of three tonight. So we've still got a little bit of time here that you and I can talk. 312-644-6767. We are talking about the Cubs, who clinched their playoff spot today by beating the Pirates. So they are in right now. They're the number one wild card in the National League, 4.5 games back of the division leader Brewers. So, you know, I mean, that's going to be a little difficult to overtake them with about 1.5 weeks left to play. Certainly not impossible, but that will be very difficult to do. So the Cubs still do have something to play for, trying to lock up that at least first wild card spot. So they will be attempting to do that over the next 1.5 weeks, but they are in the playoffs. So it's a good time to celebrate. You can, Cubs fans, celebrate back in the postseason. So here we go. Also, we are talking Bears tonight as well, and you are welcome to talk with us about that. In fact, when we come back here on The Score, we're going to visit with my guy Mark Grody, part of the Midday Show, Rahimi and Harris, and also covers the Bears for 670 The Score. And he is a fellow Redbird, Illinois State Redbird, that is, Hall of Famer. Mark Grody joins the show next on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.